From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Samson, A Witness and a Warning, part of this series in the book of Judges. As Dr. Cairns is showing, Samson was at once one of the strongest of men and yet one of the weakest of men. He was one of the few judges of whom it is written that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. We've seen that the source of Samson's power was indeed the Holy Spirit. Samson was a Nazarite from his birth, forbidden to touch, eat, or drink the fruit of the vine, or to cut his hair. Thus, the secret of his power was separation. In the course of his judgeship, Samson demonstrated the signs of his power, as he slew a lion, spoiled the Philistines, and delivered the people of Israel. Dr. Cairns will apply all of these to the mission of the church in every age. And Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
Today's text is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It is a happy way of soothing sorrow when we can feel, he careth for me. Christian, do not dishonor your religion by always wearing a brow of care. Come, cast your burden upon your Lord. You are staggering beneath a weight which your Father would not feel. What seems to you a crushing burden would be to him but as the small dust of the balance. Nothing is so sweet as to lie passive in God's hands and know no will but his. O child of suffering, be thou patient. God has not passed thee over in his providence. He who is the feeder of sparrows will also furnish you with what you need. Sit not down in despair. Hope on, hope ever. Take up the arms of faith against a sea of trouble, and your opposition shall yet end your distresses. There is one who careth for you. His eye is fixed on you. His heart beats with pity for your woe, and his hand omnipotent shall yet bring you the needed help. The darkest cloud shall scatter itself in showers of mercy. The blackest gloom shall give place to the morning. He, if thou art one of his family, will bind up thy wounds and heal thy broken heart. Doubt not his grace because of thy tribulation, but believe that he loveth thee as much in seasons of trouble as in times of happiness. What a serene and quiet life might you lead if you would leave providing to the God of Providence. With a little oil in the cruse and a handful of meal in the barrel, Elijah outlived the famine, and you will do the same. If God cares for you, why need you care too? Can you trust him for your soul and not for your body? He has never refused to bear your burdens. He has never fainted under their weight. Come then, soul, have done with fretful care, and leave all thy concerns in the hand of a gracious God.
He cares for you.
For you, he does.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today.
Samson's appearance belied the facts. His compromise really was a constant weakening of his character and a constant weakening of his testimony until finally he was led low in defeat. If you will be anything for God and do anything for God, you must take very seriously the call of God to separation. I'm talking now about personal separation unto God. I'm talking about the spiritual experience in our lives of the Nazarite's vow. I'm talking because every Christian is spiritually a Nazarite. It's not the elite among the people of God who are to be separated. It's all of God's people. God tells his people who have to preach that you're not to touch the unclean thing. But he says the very same to those who have to listen. Touch not the unclean thing. He says, come out from among them. Now that's not just out from the Romanists and out from the Ecumenists and out from the apostates and the liberals. Oh, that's all involved. But come out from among them. That which is unclean, that which is ungodly, that which is worldly, come out. Do not touch the unclean thing. What do we find today? What do you find in your own life today? Is it not true generally that God's people not only touch the unclean thing but embrace it, clasp it to their breast, and get as close to the devil in the world as they can possibly do and get away with it? The truth is, you never do get away with it. If separation has been broken in your life, be sure you're on the way to losing spiritual power. The signs of Samson's power, I'm only going to mention, because I will not have time to tarry here, otherwise this series on Judges will last through the millennium. The signs of his power. We read of one tonight. He slew the lion. And then, you remember, the bees came and there was honey there, and there was honey out of the hunter. He made that actually his riddle to the Philistines at his wedding feast. But he slew the lion. Now let me just lift that up onto a spiritual plane. Here's the first sign of spiritual power. You defeat the devil. And I'll tell you why you can defeat the devil. Because there is one who was greater than Samson. There is one who was greater than the champion of that ancient time, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has already defeated the lion. The devil, the roaring lion, walketh about seeking he may devour, met the Lord Jesus, and he defeated him. And when Christ defeated him, he made it possible for you and for me to defeat him. And out of the defeated lion, there is sweetness. Let me put it to you, the only sweetness you're ever going to enjoy in this world is over the corpse, as it were, of the lion. While the devil is not defeated in your life, you're going to be in frustration, you're going to be in bitterness, you're going to be laboring under guilt, and certainly you're not going to have the power to do anything else for God. This is the first great exhibition of Samson's power that's detailed for us. When you're going to do anything for God, you're going to run slap into the lion. Now get it clear. No matter what you try to do for God, you're going to face the lion. The devil himself, who will seek to ravage you, to defeat you, to tear you apart, or scare you off. You will need the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't overcome the devil, you're certainly not going to overcome anything or anybody else. But don't be disheartened. As I say, Christ is the conqueror. And we are conquerors and more than conquerors in him. We read, resist the devil. Resist him. And he flee from you. Don't flee from him. Don't make a pact with him. Don't come to terms with him. But resist him and you'll defeat him. Then he spoiled the Philistines. In chapter 14, verse 19, and chapter 15, verses 3 through 5, you find that at this wedding feast, when the Philistines thought they would be smart, and they made his wife entice the answer to the riddle out of Samson, and then they gave him the answer. He had a very nice reply to them. He said, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. I think that's sort of a mixed metaphor, is it not? You don't normally think of heifers as being the best in the world at solving riddles or doing crossword puzzles. But obviously, Samson was not the world's greatest poet. But he said, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, then you hadn't found out my riddle. So he went out and he made the Philistines pay, and there were 30 dead bodies as the result. He spoiled the Philistines. He had power to turn their wickedness in their own hand. He had power to ruin, as we see in chapter 15, the harvest of their evil deeds. You know, that's the kind of power that's missing in the church of Jesus Christ today. That's the kind of power they had in the early church. You think of the harvest of sin, the harvest of ecumenical apostasy, the harvest of liberalism, the harvest of dressed-up humanism that has grown in this country. And oh, for the power to go in and destroy the harvest of sin. Only the Holy Ghost power can enable us to do that. We find then that he slaughtered the Philistines, chapter 15 and verse 15. I like this part. Samson not only scared the Philistines, he scared the men of Judah. He was too strong for them. Now that's an interesting thing. All the other judges seem to have been welcomed by the Israelites. None of them did what Samson did, and yet they were scared of Samson and they blamed him. They said, do you not know that the Philistines are our rulers? What have you done? Destroying their harvest. What have you done? Well, they bound him and they handed him over. That's a sad picture and a sad commentary. Listen, my friend, the urgency of the spiritual situation in America and in the Western world generally today is pointed up by that picture. If you would be a man or a woman who has a real experience of the fullness of the Holy Ghost and do a work for God and stand up against the cursed forces of Antichrist and the devil, you can be prepared to be opposed and to be sold out even by those who profess to be your brethren. These men of Judah, oh, we're good Israelites. Of course they weren't, but they said, yes, we're good Israelites. We have the best intentions. We're seeking to promote the best interests of our land, and we'll sell Samson out to death. When I look back over the past years in which the Free Church has been involved in fighting the ecumenical apostasy, the great movement for the one world church under the domination of the Roman Antichrist, I could say this, that we were well aware that the apostates themselves wouldn't like it. We were ready for that opposition. We were ready also for the opposition from an ungodly press. What do they know about the things of God? We were ready for the opposition from ungodly politicians. Again, they just go with the majority in order to save their measly little seat in some parliament. But the thing that was most distressing was to find, and we did find this, and we will continue to find this, people who were our brethren, saved by the grace of God, and yet they would take their stand with the enemies of God. You know, it's the money of born-again believers that has kept the great apostate churches on their track. I don't know
too much about churches in America. I've only been here 10 years, and given my speed of learning, I'd need to be here to the age of Methuselah to be able to learn much about this country. But I'm sure it's not all that different from the other side of the world. I remember looking at the financial statement of a large, wealthy Irish Presbyterian church. It was about 4 or 5 miles from our church up in Ballymoney. And I was amazed at what I saw. They put down the names of all the people, and against it, the amount of money they had given for the year. Nothing secret about it. It was all open and there for everybody to see. I saw the names of some of the biggest landowners, some of the biggest farmers, some of the richest businessmen in that countryside, and beside their name, some niggardly little amount. Maybe 5, 6, or 10 pounds for a whole year. What was keeping that church going? It was the dozens and the scores and the hundreds of little people who were saved and who gave large amounts. They gave their tithes and their offerings into their parish church, even though it was not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The best givers in any church are the sea of people in the church. It's a sad, sad thing to see God's people lining up with the Philistines, handing the people of God over. But Samson, I like this, he simply burst the bands asunder. He got hold of a new jawbone of an ass, took it in his hand, and slew 1,000 of his enemies therewith. He slaughtered the Philistine host. When we pray for power, we're praying for power to slay the power of hell, to spoil the harvest of sin, and to make a great hip and thigh slaughter among the enemies of God. Now, of course, when the Lord slays men, he can do it either in grace or in judgment. There's a great slaughter among the countless myriads of the lost when God goes in saving sinners. There's also a great slaughter when he starts removing apostates. And I tell you quite honestly, when I pray for the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm praying for power to do both. And then, of course, he succored the people in the cause of God. This timid people who were too scared to stand when Samson stood. They must have had some backbone put in them. Here then are the signs of spiritual power.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.